Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I had something else prepared. God changed it, then He changed it again. So I'm going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. We'll begin our reading in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I appreciate the church praying last week. If you did, while I was preaching at teen camp down in Knoxville, God moved in a mighty, mighty way. We give Him the glory for it. It's amazing how the Lord works with His Word with anybody who desires to hear His voice. God speaks to them and God changes their life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I get an amen right there, friends? This morning I preach to you on the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. I pray that you'll help me to preach with power and clarity and understanding. For this great crowd that's come, I pray, starting with my own heart, that you will speak to us. I pray, our Lord, if there's one lost, reveal it to them. And may today be the day of salvation. We who are saved, challenge us with this great truth that you are coming back to rapture your bride. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard that Jesus is coming again? Well, I remind you that Jesus is not only coming again, but He's coming again and again. Let me explain. You understand that the second coming of Jesus Christ is divided into two phases. One of them we know is the rapture of the church. The other one is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me explain. Whenever what we're looking at for the next timetable on the Lord's timetable is what's called the rapture of the church. The rapture is where the Lord comes as a thief in the night. He comes in the sky, in the clouds. His feet will not touch planet Earth. This is when He's going to rapture His bride, His church. If you're saved, that's you. He's going to take you to be with Him for all eternity, and He's going to snatch us out of here just like a thief. At that time, the seven-year tribulation will begin upon this earth. That is going to be a terrible time that you do not want to be a part of. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. That's when every eye will see Him. That's when they will call out for the rocks to fall on them. That's when He will step feet on this earth and He will set up His millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. This morning, I am not talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means after the seven-year tribulation. This morning, I'm preaching on the rapture, which means the first thing that's going to take place next on God's prophetical timetable. I'm glad this morning that I can announce that Jesus Christ could rapture the church before I get done preaching this morning. And I want to preach to you on this subject, the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes to call His bride home. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who was God in human flesh, was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He was questioned right here at age 12. We saw Him questioning doctors. He performed miracles. He cast out demons. He walked on the water. He calmed the storm on the sea. He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was betrayed into the hands of sinners. He was laughed at, mocked, spit upon, beaten with the cat of nine tails. He had a crown of thorns placed on His holy brow. He had His beard plucked out by the roots. He had nails driven in His hands and driven in His feet. He took God the Father's wrath for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He appeared to certain people, and he ascended back up into heaven, which is where he is today. But thank God, Acts 1:11 says, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. His first coming, he was crucified. His second coming, he's going to be crowned. His first coming, he was a servant. His second coming, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. In his first coming, he was a lowly child. In his second coming, he is the Lord of glory. In his first coming, he was coming to be judged for sin. In his second coming, he will be the judge of the universe. I want to give you four things this morning as we consider the rapture of the church. May I say this to you, that the Word of God gives all kinds of signs of the times. We preached on them when I preached through the book of Matthew. But I remind you that those signs are pointing towards the revelation of Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is, if we see these signs coming now and that's pointing to the revelation, you can take 7 years off of that, and that's how much closer we are to the rapture of the church. Let me give you four things about it. Number one, it is a sure event. We see this in verse 16 of our text. Notice it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Jesus Christ is coming again. There are over 1,800 references to the second coming. Now, the second coming encompasses both the rapture and the revelation. There are over 1,800 references to the second coming in the Old Testament alone. Do you realize that out of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 318 references saying Jesus is coming again? Amazingly, that is one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament says Jesus is coming again. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the second coming of Christ. People, listen to me, please. It makes no difference what I believe about it. Makes no difference what you believe about it. It makes a difference for my eternity, and it makes a difference for your eternity. But I'm simply trying to announce to you that Jesus Christ does not have to have our permission to come back to planet Earth. The Bible says in Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. Matthew 26:64, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Luke 9:26, he shall come in his own glory. John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus Christ is coming again. It is a sure event. When I put this message together, which means that this stat has probably majorly decreased, but when I put this message together, I read where 62% of Americans believe that Jesus is coming again. Let's say that it's still 62%. What about the other 38% who don't believe? I've got news for them. He's coming anyway, because it makes no difference what man believes. Your belief and my belief does not change the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming back, whether we believe it or whether we don't. He does not need our permission. It's a sure thing. Number two, it's a sudden thing. We see this in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Matthew 24:27 says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to think about a time when you remember seeing a lightning bolt. You got it in your mind? There it is. Did it go like this? Isn't that thing beautiful? Look at that. No. It would, and it's gone. Jesus said, that's exactly how he's coming back. You know what that tells me? It's a sudden event. Mark 13, 35 and 36, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Revelation 3, 11, behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. Revelation 22, 12, and behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22, 20, surely I come quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 52 says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Bible says it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When I was studying these phrases here, I noticed the phrase in a moment, and I noticed the phrase twinkling of an eye. Let me explain this to you. The phrase in a moment, it is a Greek scientific word. That phrase, if you look it up, it's a Greek scientific word from which we get our word atom, A-T-O-M. Now get this. We know today that atoms are made up of smaller molecules like protons, neutrons, and electrons. You didn't know you were going to get a scientific lesson when you came. But back in this day, the atom was the smallest part of matter that was known. They didn't know about the protons, the neutrons, the electrons. So when the Holy Spirit of God inspired this phrase in a moment, at that time he was using the smallest particle known to man. Then he said, in the twinkling of an eye. Now nobody really knows how quick that is. But I read that a twinkling is considered 1/25th of a blink. I read that a twinkling is 1/1000th of a second. Now, nobody fully knows what that means, but on the count of three, blink. 1, 2, 3, blink. If that's true, Jesus could come back 25 times in that amount of time. You got a watch? Look at it. Don't tell me what time it is, amen, but look at it. Look at the second hand, 1,001. If that's true, he could rapture the church 1,000 times in that amount of time. You say that's impossible. Then you don't know God very well, do you? I don't know exactly how fast it's going to be, but the fact is this, when he comes back, it's going to be too fast to get saved. I know that. I don't know how fast it's going to be, but I know it's going to be too fast to tell somebody else about Jesus. I don't know how fast it's going to be, but I know it's going to be too fast to get right with God. And I know it's going to be too fast to say yes to God's call on your life. Whatever you need to do, do it now. Because you will not have time if Jesus decides to come in the next twinkling of an eye. Reverend Earle Kelly, Earl Kelly, he was a preacher. I don't know him or anything about him. But he was quoting from Matthew 24, 27, saying, as the lightning shineth from the west and shineth even in the east. About that time, he didn't realize that there was a large light bulb hanging right in front of the pulpit. It was loose. And while he was quoting that verse about the second coming of Christ, that light bulb fell and shattered. Devastated the crowd. Can you imagine? And that preacher capitalized on it, and he said this. He says, his coming will be just as sudden, just as unexpected, and just as devastating to the dreams that are not Christ-centered. May I say something to you? I'm getting ahead of myself. But if you and I really believe on what I'm preaching here today, it'll change our life. It'll change the life of this church. It'll change the life of every individual member here. And I know there's noise here. I know there's people talking. I understand all that. May God help them. But don't you miss this, that there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming back. And it is time that we understand it's going to be too fast to get right with Almighty God. Number one, it's a sure thing. Number two, it's a sudden thing. Number three, it is a separating thing. We see this in verses 16 and 17. Let's notice our text here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Notice this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The qualifying phrase in this rapture here, the qualifying phrase is in Christ. The Bible says when the Lord comes back that he's going to resurrect those who are in Christ. Let me explain. If you don't listen to anything else here, listen to this. The Word of God teaches that some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he came and he was born of the Virgin Mary. He had no human father, and because of that, he did not inherit Adam's sinful nature. He inherited his father's sinless nature. He was God in human flesh. The Bible teaches that he went to the cross of Calvary, he stretched out his arms and he stretched out his feet and he bled and he died for the sin of the world. The Bible teaches that at that moment on the cross, when God turned out the lights, that God the Father turned his back on God the Son and the wrath of the Father fell on Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the wrath for sin. Sin deserves death. Sin deserves payment. And the payment of sin is eternal separation from God. It is death. It is spiritual death in a place known as the lake of fire. But at that moment in eternity, Jesus Christ bore the wrath of our sin. He really did. God the Father poured his wrath out on his own Son on the cross of Calvary. Jesus even said in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou turned thy back on me? And the answer is he turned his back on his Son so he would never have to turn his back on me. And when he had his sin and he bore the sin, the wrath of the Father, now he died, he was buried, he rose again. And now he says, any that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And God the Father says, anybody who comes to me accepting my Son, I will save him. I will redeem him. And my wrath has already been poured out on my Son, so I will place him into Christ. We are known as the bride of Christ, but we're also known as the body of Christ, which means that we who are saved, we have identified ourselves with the Son of God. We are in the Son of God. We are in Christ. Are you listening to me? He's already had the wrath of God on him. It will never fall on Christ again. Never. Which means that if you're in Christ, you are safe, you are secure for all eternity. And this portion of Scripture says, when he comes to rapture his church, he is going to resurrect those in Christ. What's that mean? That means that only those who are in his family will be going during the rapture. And everybody else will be left behind. The point is that there's going to be a great separation that day. Those who are saved will be separated from those who are lost. The saved will go with Jesus and be separated from those lost who remain behind. There was a boy who was watching one of those large electromagnets, you know, like you see in a junkyard. And he watched this large magnet go over this scrap metal heap or whatever, and he noticed all of this metal was being sucked up on it. But as he was watching, he noticed that there were some things falling back down, but he couldn't see what it was. And he was wondering from a distance, why is it not holding on to some things? So he went and got closer and looked down to where that stuff was falling, and he noticed that it was stuff like 2x4s, broom handles, broken wood falling down. And the reason that it was falling back is because it wasn't made of the right stuff to stick to. And may I say this to you? When Jesus comes, there'll be no phonies going. When Jesus comes, there'll be no fakes going. When Jesus comes, he'll make no mistakes. I'm going to tell you something. God convicts me when I say things the way I shouldn't say it. So earlier, forgive me for getting in the flesh a little bit. I'm sorry. But I love you so much, every one of you. I don't want to see a one of you left behind. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. There are people today who are trying to fool their parents, they're trying to fool their kids, they're trying to fool their grandparents or grandkids. There are people today who are trying to fool their friends, their youth group, their youth pastor, their church, their Sunday school teacher, their pastor, you name it. I mean, I say this, don't be foolish like that. Because the fact of the matter is your pastor, your parent, your grandchild or your grandparent, your child or your parent, friends, listen, you can fool anybody. But you cannot fool God. God knows if you're in Christ. God knows if you're saved. God knows if you're born again. And if you are, praise God, because he's coming to get you some glorious day. But if you're not, you are living in such eternal danger. Some are going to be shocked when they go home and mom and daddy are not there. Because see, the rapture took place. And they went, but you stayed. Some are going to be shocked to wake up one morning and their spouse is not laying in the bed with them because, see, their spouse was saved, but they were lost. And now they're separated. Some are going to be shocked when their kids go off to school someday, but they don't get off the bus because the rapture happened during school hours. And their son or daughter was saved, but they weren't. Some are going to be shocked to be sitting in church, maybe a service like this, and all of a sudden people are gone because the rapture took place. And they waited too long to get in. Only those in Christ are going. Does that include you? Do you know without a doubt that you're going home with Jesus? Boy, it blesses my heart. I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home. And I want to take as many as I possibly can with me. I can't take you, but I know somebody who wants to take you. And I'm simply trying to introduce you to him today. Number one, it's a sure thing. He's coming. By the way, aren't you glad he's coming? By the way, it says in the Word of God, talking about the signs of the revelation, when you begin to see these things happen, when you just begin to see them, we've already begun to see them. When you begin to see them, he said this, lift up your eyes. Look for your redemption's drawing nigh. It's a sure thing. It's a sudden thing. It's a separating thing. But finally, and this is so sobering. Sobering. It is a sealing thing. Sealing. Seals. It seals something. You say, what do you mean? I want you to flip with me because I think it's very important that you see this. Flip with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're beside somebody who does not have a Bible, or you're beside somebody that's not familiar with the Bible and they're having trouble finding it, help them find it. And by the way, if you have trouble finding it, don't let that disturb you. You're among friends. There were days when, hey, there's still some books. Habakkuk. You mean that's still in the Old Testament? Yeah, where is it? You tell me. What is it? You see what I'm saying? Don't crucify yourself. Just learn the Bible. I want everybody to see what I'm getting ready to read. And as you're turning, here's what I mean by this statement. where it says it is a sealing thing. It seals something. Here's the point. When Jesus Christ comes, if you have heard the gospel, you say, I haven't heard it. You have today. If you have heard the gospel and you say no. By the way, you may say, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying not today. That's a no, okay? Let's just quit sugarcoating things, okay? It's either yes or no. If you say no and you've heard the gospel, if Jesus Christ comes, your eternal destiny is now sealed. There's no more opportunity for you to be saved. You say, I've never heard that. You have now. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, if you read this, this is talking about the Antichrist, okay? The one that will step on the scene during the seven-year tribulation. Notice verse number 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, notice this, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, okay? They heard the truth, but they did not receive it that they might be saved. Because for this cause, notice this, God shall send them strong delusion that they should all believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, friends, what else are those verses teaching? Those verses are plainly teaching that if you hear the gospel, that you might be saved. If you turn a deaf ear and you say no, if the rapture takes place, you will believe Antichrist. You will be in delusion from God. And you will be damned for all eternity. That's what these verses are teaching. So when you hear the truth, it is a dangerous thing to turn a deaf ear to it, because you're in danger of sealing your eternal destiny. Those who are alive and remain at the coming of Christ, if they have heard the gospel, will there be people saved in the tribulation? Yes. There will be many saved in the tribulation, but nobody who rejected Christ before the rapture. Nobody who rejected Christ before Jesus came. And I'm telling you, if you are left behind, you will go through the tribulation. You will believe the Antichrist. You will face God at the great white throne and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I ask you this question. Don't answer this out loud, just answer it silently. Are you in danger of sealing your eternal destiny? Jesus' coming is sure, sudden, separating, and sealing. And may I say this to you? Was it important that Jesus came the first time? Was that important? Absolutely, because without that, we have no Savior, right? Do you realize that for every prophecy of the first coming, there's eight for the second? In other words, what that means is every time it says, he came, he's coming, 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 he's coming. He came, he's coming, 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 he's coming. Now, if there's that much emphasis on the first coming, and he gives eight times as many references to the second, I think it's important to God. D.L. Moody said something here, and I like what he said. He said, the devil does not want us to see this truth concerning the return of the Lord, for nothing would wake up the church so much. The moment a person takes hold of the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back again to receive his friends to himself, this world loses its hold upon him. gas stocks, stocks in bank, and railroads are of much less consequence. The heart is free to look for the blessed appearing of our Lord, who at His coming will take us into His blessed kingdom. Folks, today could be the day of the rapture. Are you ready? Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Mark chapter 13, verses 34 to 37 reads this way. It says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. A lady come to Dr. Ron Comfort. He must have been preaching on the second coming or something. And she said, Jesus may come in your lifetime, but I don't believe he's coming in mine. And when I heard him say that, he responded by saying, that's the problem with Christians today. They think that he may come in the younger generation's life, but he won't come in theirs. D.L. Moody used to say, I never preach a sermon without thinking that possibly the Lord may come before I preach another. G. Campbell Morgan, the distinguished preacher, said this. He said, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps God may interrupt my work and begin His own. I am not looking for death. I am looking for Him. Mark 13:32, the Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Now you've listened well, I appreciate it. And I hope you see my heart in this. If Jesus Christ, if God the Father opened heaven right now and opened this roof, and we could literally hear His voice, and He said, folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, in 10 minutes from now, the rapture will take place. And the roof closes and the voice disappears. If you knew in 10 minutes Jesus is coming, what would you do? You know what some people do? They'd stop playing games. They'd come to an old rugged altar here and they'd say, Jesus, I need to be saved. Others would try to get right with somebody that they've been holding bitterness against because they know it's not right. God's convicted them, but they think they have a right to hold it. But they realize if Jesus comes, yes, they'll go with Him, but they don't want to be ashamed when He comes, so they'll get that right first. I don't know what you need to do. I would be wrong to judge you and say you need to do this. I need to ask myself that same question. You know what some would do? They'd get to a phone as soon as possible because that neighbor or that mom or that dad or that brother or that sister or that son or that daughter or that grandparent that they know they need to witness to, but they've yet to do it because they're intimidated. They wouldn't be intimidated any longer if they knew they had only 10 minutes to do something. Do you see how this will change our life if you let it? Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Will you be ready? I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Again, I appreciate the way you have listened today. God bless you. There are two kinds of people listening to me. Those who are in Christ and those who are not. those who have trusted the Lord as their Savior and those who have not. We have a great crowd here today. I commend you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. We're glad every one of you are here today. But maybe today God is tugging at your heart in the matter of salvation. Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Now, men, women, boys, and girls, God has made salvation to the point to where nobody can jam this down your throat. Nobody can make this decision for you. Nobody can twist your arm and make you come forward and force you to become a child of God. This is between you and the Lord. But as they begin to play through softly, if they don't mind to do that, I ask you this morning, if Jesus Christ raptured the church, do you know without a doubt that you would go? Do you know without a doubt that you would not be left behind? Do you know that you are in Christ? If you know you are, there's no doubt in your mind. You know you're born again. You know you're saved. You know that you're ready to go. If you know without a doubt that you are saved and ready to go, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you for being honest. By the way, isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that question? Amen. Is there somebody here today you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question, but I want to be able to raise my hand to that question? Now, it could be that there's somebody here today, you don't know that you can, and you don't really care about it. And all we're going to do is pray for you that God will speak to your heart and show you that what this country preacher was talking about today is something that you need. But maybe you're sitting here today and you're not like that. You know that you need to make sure of this. Maybe you know you're lost and you want to know that you're going with Him. Is there one today you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure that I would go, or I know I wouldn't go. Would you pray for me? I want to be in Christ. I really want to be in Him. I don't know that I am, but I want to be. Would you raise your hand big and high in the air with mine? God bless you. Yes. Others around the auditorium, you say, pray for me. I'd like to know that when Jesus comes, I'd like to know that I would go with Him. I don't know that this morning, but I would like to know that. I really would. Is there anybody else? Would you put your hand in the air, put it right back down? We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. But you say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure. But I know I don't want to be left behind. Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Yes. Anybody along with these, would you put your hand up, put it right back down? If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Just look right up here at me. I don't know your heart. God does. And I realize in a message like this, some people just doubt. I understand that. It's not good to even doubt. You need to get it settled. Make sense? Okay? So what we're going to do is, I'd like some of our ladies, if I could have some lady counselors, please. Miss Seaman, if you don't mind. Maybe Charlotte, if you don't mind. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'll just come right here. We want to help right here. Let's talk to them. Let's help them. Yes. Yes. We want to help you. We want to help you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I've not really been living in light of the rapture. When I know I'm going home to be with Jesus, God is speaking to me about living in the reality of the rapture. And I realize that my time's limited. And I realize that every day of my life could be the last day that I have to do something for the Lord on this earth. And God is speaking to me. He's speaking to me. I'm a Christian, but God is speaking to me about living a life that's more pleasing to Him. not wasting my time. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, be honest? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing, and I'm going to go ahead and dismiss. As soon as he begins to sing, I'm going to dismiss everybody who's following the Lord in believers' baptism. As soon as he begins to sing, you can make your way to be prepared for that. If you want to come to the altar as a child of God and say, help me to redeem the time, not waste it any longer, as Brother Gary begins to sing, I want you to come. I want you to come. As it come now, what you do? Get out of your seat and come. If you're following the Lord in baptism, you can, girls to my right, your left, up these steps up here. Guys to my left, your right, preparing for baptism. Or maybe you're just coming to pray and talk to God. Help you redeem the time. You know you're saved, but you don't want to waste time. You want to live in reality in the rapture. Asking God to help you. Guys on this side, girls on this side. Guys on this side, girls on this side.
As they prepare for the baptismal service, we are talking with some folks here, but that they just continue with that. Let me give you a couple of very quick announcements here. Remember that tonight, two things are going on that are special. Our mission team that just returned from England will be giving their presentation tonight, and you'll want to be here for that. Also tonight is our fifth Sunday Others Offering. And again, we do this four times a year, and you can obviously put that in your tithe envelope. If you want to do it separately, that's fine too. But that is tonight. Bible school is ongoing, Camping in the Wilderness, and things are moving ahead there. Continue to pray. If you haven't signed up yet, you still like something to do, we can put you to work. And if you haven't let me know yet your t-shirt order, let me know that also today so we can get that taken care of. Remind you also about the baseball and softball camp going on July 7th through the 9th. That's through children, 8-year-old through 12-year-old. And there's a form here. They must fill this out when they bring it. And remember, every day the gospel will be given. We're not doing this just to teach them how to play baseball. We're doing this to help them to know how to go to heaven. And so that is a good tool you can use. Finally, our Reaching Jerusalem. If you haven't filled this out yet, your desire to reach your community, your neighborhood, make sure you get that filled out and turned in. Gentlemen, if you will come, we'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the certainty we can have as we have faith in Christ. And Lord, we do pray for these this morning who are come, who are struggling with that certainty, their assurance. And I pray that this morning the Word of God would give them assurance and comfort in their heart. And we also pray for these about to be baptized, Lord, a large number. May they truly walk in newness of life. And may this be a great beginning for them of a new life, a changed life. And as they publicly tell us that they are children of God, may you bless them and help them. And Lord, bless this offering, our others' offering tonight, and the service tonight. We just look to you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming today, all of you. Good crowd. We appreciate every one of you being here. God bless you. And we're baptizing, I think, 11 here. Praise the Lord for that. And upon their baptism, we're receiving them into the membership of our church. So that's why we vote on them as a church family. All of these have been dealt with. They've been dealt with thoroughly. They have trusted the Lord as their Savior. They're wanting to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Join our church by this means. So I'm just going to call all of their names, and we'll vote on them just with one vote, and then we'll baptize. Tony Tolley, Jennifer Tolley, Maria Mustin, David Tolley, Katrina Hummer, Dwayne Barnett, Melinda Barnett, Crystal Presnell, Daniel Mosley, Peyton Cox, and Terrence Lucy. And I make a motion that we receive all of these in the membership of our church by their baptism. Could I get the pleasure of the church on that, Brother Steve? Brother Eugene Radford, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Is there any opposed? Same sign. So carry. This is Crystal Presnell. The Lord's done a work in her life. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Happy for you. It is Terrence, right? Terrence Lucy. This is Terrence Lucy. What bus route do you ride? Rides bus route 11. We're so glad about this. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Glad you're here. This is Peyton Cox. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. Glad you're here. This is Daniel Mosley. The Lord's done a great work in his heart and life, so we give God the praise for it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Just bend your knees. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in this life. God bless you. Got a little wet on that one, friends. Amen. Won't you come on down here too, okay? These are the Barnetts. God has saved them, changing their lives. They're coming as a husband and wife to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's a great thing, isn't it? If you'll stand right back there. Amen.
Right.
If you'll turn and face this way. This is Melinda Barnett. On your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Just bend your knees. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. And this is Dwayne Barnett. He's a big one. You can hear my voice, can't see me up here though, can you? Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. Proud of you. Amen. Hope my wife brought some more clothes, friends. Amen. There are blessings of being short, but there are some curses too, you know what I mean? This is Katrina Hummer. And she felt that she got saved later in life after she thought she got saved. So she's coming, making sure that she has taken the step of obedience after salvation. I commend her for this. This is the right thing for her to do. And I appreciate her being willing to do this. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Thank you for doing the right thing. Family left? Is that it? All four of you. Come on. Yes. All right, I'm bringing all four of them in here. What we have here is a family of four. This is Tony. Jennifer's coming down. This is Maria, and this is David. This is a family of four. They've been saved. God has blessed them in a tremendous way. God's working in their life. One of our bus routes, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. We give God the glory and honor. He's waiting up here, but you know, all this kind of stuff is good. I want them to hear, so if you all just kind of step back here with me. This is David. Upon his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. You just stand right. This is Maria. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you.
Mama, Dad.
If you face that way there. This is Jennifer. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. I got you. This is Tony. He's my buddy. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. Can I brought you up in there?
Yeah.
It has been done as the Lord Jesus Christ hath clearly commanded, and all of God's people said. This is exciting, friends. It really is. Thank the Lord for the baptismal waters going through here. Amen. I'm going to get these wet, but if Diana Williams will stand, where's Diana at? Diana has trusted Christ as her Savior. She's gone through the discipleship course and just kind of making sure today. Is that correct? Praise the Lord for that. I remind you that salvation is a one-time experience. But there's nothing wrong with making sure that you've trusted Christ. This is a great decision. God bless you. We're glad you're here. God bless you. David Dennison and Lucy Ivarone, they're right here. Both of them also have trusted the Lord as their Savior. And I understand you are coming today to get assurance of your salvation. Is that correct? Again, I say the same thing. The devil's a master trying to get you to doubt what God has done. But we never want to try to give you assurance of something that only the Lord can give you assurance of. And you're coming today to get this nailed down and get it settled. Is that true? So if you died today, you'd know you'd go to heaven. Is that correct? It's because what Jesus did, not what you've done, what the Lord did for you. And you know what this means is when he raptures the church, you're going with him. We praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you very much. Rita Mosley. Where is Rita? Okay, Rita's right here. Rita is coming for the same decision today. She's coming for assurance of salvation. So you know you've been saved. You're just coming today to really nail it down just to make sure that you were believers. Is that correct? Well, thank you for making that decision. And we're happy for you, thrilled for you. Have you happy for these decisions? Would you say an amen? Amen. And listen, I never want to be wrong with God. Never. I never want to be wrong with God. And the Lord convicted me when I said right here that we had some folks talking. I'm sorry about that. Would you please forgive me? Because I want my heart to be right with God. I never want to come across as a smart aleck. Amen, friends. And if I came across that way, I apologize sincerely. And if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you. Don't go to bed tonight without making this decision for the Lord. Be back tonight. We'll have a special report on the England trip. And depending on the time frame, I may be speaking just a few minutes tonight on something special for the church to get involved in. You don't want to miss it. So you be back tonight at 6:30, okay? Let's all stand together, please. If you have a visitor's card, we remind you to take that out through the lobby. Drop it off to Welcome Center. I'm going to ask Brother Mark Larkey, I hope you're okay with this, to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.